Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show gratitude to Allah ta'ala, meaning make shukr always of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anishkur lillah. Secondly, associate not partners or equals with Allah ta'ala. La tushrik billah. I'm picking out from those ayat that I recited the commandments only. 15 commandments, here they come. First, anishkur lillah, show thankfulness and gratitude to Allah. Second command, la tushrik billah, do not associate any partners or do not set up any kind of equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would have loved to have given you examples now when Allah ta'ala says do not give equals with Allah ta'ala. I, in my mind, flashed the idea that let me give you a few examples, but time will not permit, brothers. You can ask me at some other time. I have dealt with the subject at length at other times. And when we talk of making equals with Allah, the commotion that it can create in this ummah, by merely saying, here Allah, la tushrik billah, do not associate or put anything to be equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then immediately if you say, well, this is an example of that kind of equality, and you will have Muslims who want to choke your throat. They want to blow your brains. For example, I'll give you one example, let me give you an example. That is to say and argue the point and say, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ultimate knowledge, he has all knowledge. Astaghfirullah. And you can see what it will raise. Try saying this outside to the ummah at large, and you will see what it will do to you. Just that one. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is alim and khabir. Subhanallah. And you see the repercussions. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and says, La tushrik billah. Do not set up any equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No associates and no equals. So what I am asking is, what have we become? When we are not prepared to listen to the Quran and the Sunnah and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we want to give our personal interpretations, bring in our own fancies, what happens with this ummah then? Third command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show gratitude to none other but Allah, to no other besides Allah. Here's another thing. Clear command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anishkur, says Allah, anishkur li. You pay gratitude to none, only Allah ta'ala. You pay respect to none, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You obey none, only Allah subhanallah. And you will see what will happen when you try and say this to this ummah. Ignorance in our day and age has increased to such an extent that they will want to really kill you. Hatred will flame up in their eyes for you if you tell them this. Pity this ummah, brothers, what we have become. At times I think, after reading in the Quran and the history of nations, that many of the nations that have been wiped from the surface of this globe, destroyed utterly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their responses and reactions to the anbiyas of their time was not like ours. That is what we have become. So disastrous are we in our reactions and responses. So low have we, so downgraded have we become. So transgressing have we become. Such transgressors have we become. So rebellious have we become against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not want to understand the purity of explanations. We want to understand the way we wish to understand. Subhanallah. And it doesn't work. I can't do that, so how can you? I cannot give you the explanation and fancy which I want to give you. I've got to give you what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, and the interpretation that the Sahaba ikram gave. And for Quran, every interpretation has already been given by our elders, by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. He lived the Quran, so what is there that is dark and unknown in the Quran? What is there that is so hidden in the Quran? Yes, words like Alif Lam Mim and Yasin. All those maybe, yes, there are hidden meanings to them. All right. But an instruction like this, Anishkuruli, O Muslimin, O believers, you will thank none but me, obey none but me, show gratitude to none but me. How clearer do you want this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourth command coming up, show thanks to your parents, subhanAllah. Show gratitude to your parents, show thanks to, be thankful to your parents, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect them and obey them in all things that are good, says Allah. وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fifth command coming up of the 15, obey not your parents when they instruct you in evil, subhanAllah. Obey not your parents when they instruct you in things evil, in wrongful things, subhanAllah. This is in the Quran, instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تُتِعْهُمَا, فَلَا تُتِعْهُمَا, mother and father, both are included. And of course, from mother and father, then the grandparents and uncles and aunties, all those that are older than you, also fall in line. If any of your elders tell you to do anything which is wrong, you don't obey, you simply don't obey them. Allah will not consider it as rudeness. Allah Ta'ala will not consider it as ingratitude. And up till now, I receive annually hundreds of phone calls and so many approaches and letters from people who want to know that, Maulana, what should I do? Should I continue to live with my parents when this is their way and this is what is happening, etc., etc.? I don't want to go into all kinds of examples, but were they instructing the young man or young girl to do things which they should not be doing? And then they want to know that, should we obey them, should we love them? For they know only one side of what the Quran has to say, that they must obey the parents. But look what Allah subhanahu, yes, obey them in things that are good, waliwalidayk, فَلَا تُتَعْهُمَا, and whenever they instruct you in wrong and evil and injustice and things that are un-Islamic, you do not obey them. If they tell you, your father or your mother tells you, my daughter, you dress like this, and you know that it is un-Islamic form of dress, and they force you to put makeup or whatever, things that are forbidden, or not to wear a scarf, or to dress in mini, or whatever, then what do you do? Do you obey them? No. You do not have to obey them, for you know what is right, what is haq, and what is batil. So you carry out what Allah's instruction and command is, not that of your mother or father. The same applies to the son. Brothers, let's continue. Sixth command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bear your parents' company. Look how important parents are. And how clear the instructions are. Bear your parents' company in this world with fairness, with kindness, with gentleness, and with justice. Allahu Akbar, the Quran. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا مَعْرُوفًا. Those of you know Amar bil Ma'roof, inviting towards the good. Hear that word Ma'roof. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And look after them in this world. Care for them. No matter who they are. Look, they may be unbelievers. They may be disbelievers. You may have embraced Islam and come in the deep, particularly in our area, but also growing in the United States, in Europe and Asia. Many thousands and thousands of people are embracing Islam. And they cannot force their parents to accept Islam also. Growing here amongst us in South Africa, amongst the non-Muslim population, there are also many coming and embracing the deen. We've got to know how. If they ask us, how should we handle our parents, what should our relationship be with our parents and our relatives and our cousins, we must know. You handle them how? With fairness, with gentleness, with kindness, and with justice. You show them the best character portrayal of a Muslim, and they will come into the deen. They will definitely come into the deen. It has been proven. By your change in your life, your character, your morality, the purity, I keep repeating, your morality, your morality, your morality, because I find the Muslim morality going into a slide. And it is morality that Islam and morality are partners. They go hand in hand. You cannot be a Muslim and be immoral. You've got to be moral to be a Muslim. So, it is morality that is our greatest attraction. Morality meaning piety, virtue, devoutness, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cleanliness, goodness, all these wonderful virtues. This is what we mean by speaking of goodness. So says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Bear your parents' company in this world with fairness, gentleness and justice, even if they are unbelievers. The Quran doesn't say even if they are unbelievers. The fuqaha our learned jurists add, comment in their commentaries in the Quran, the Mufassirin, Muhaddisin, that is where I obtain it. I cannot put down everything for you, but it means even if they are unbelievers, you attract them and you invite them by your goodness and your purity, and your character and your uprightness and your devoutness and your righteousness. Seventh command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the way of those who sincerely turn to Allah ta'ala, mashallah. Subhanallah. Ask, whose company should I keep? Where should I go? Who should I join? Who should I speak to? What kind of people should I speak to? Listen to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wattabi' sabila man anaba ilayya. You follow the way, keep the company of those who sincerely turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Their work is, brother, it is time for salah. Let us go to the masjid. Come back from the sit in the masjid, let us make some tasbih, let us make some dua, let us make istighfar, let us make tilawa of the Quran, let us engage ourselves in zikrullah, all the time towards goodness, let us go to this lesson, let us go to those classes, all the time the search is for virtue, goodness, learning and wisdom. Says Allah, وَاتَّبِي سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ. 8 out of the 15, the 8th command of Allah, be constant in prayer. Subhanallah, in salah. Be constant in salah. Aqim is salah. 9th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Command what is just. Wa'amur bil ma'aruf. What happened with the Bani Israel? Taking an example out of the chapters of the Quran. What happened to them? With the Bani Israel people, the ulama, the rabbis, the rabbinical order of the Bani Israel became so frustrated with the transgression and the disobedience of their people, with the obduracy and obstinacy of their people, the Bani Israel, they just would not listen to good. So the ulama, who were good people, the rabbis who were good people, they were devout followers of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What did they do? They cut themselves off from society, from the community, and they took their books, their kitabs, their learning, their wisdom, and they went up into the mountains and secluded themselves in the caves. What was the result? People lost learning, people became ignorant, people went deeper and deeper into sin and evil, and the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down upon them. But when it came down upon them, it wiped out those ulama and those rabbis and learned people of the Bani Israel community as well. All of them were destroyed because they had cut themselves off. You and I also try and have this in our mind, that learning on one side, life on the other. Brothers, with a Muslim it doesn't work so. Learning and life with us go together. Practice goes with belief and learning. All these things are wound. We are Muslim in every facet and in every way. The theoretical and the practical, belief and the practice go together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمُرْ بِالْمَعَرُوفِ. Command what is just. 10th command of Allah, forbid what is evil. وَنْهَا أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And this is the living life. You ask me, what is the ruh of the Muslim ummah? What is the ruh, the soul, the spirit that moves and motivates the Muslim ummah, the Muslim community, the Muslim nation? And I will tell you what it is. I will tell you it is وَأَمُرُ بِالْمَعَرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. As long as this ummah continues with the work of dawat and tabligh, of commanding what is just and forbidding that which is evil, as long as they do that, this soul of Islam, body of Islam, ummah of Islam will survive. We will overcome. But the moment this work is stopped, prevented, we will fall into decay. We will erode very, very quickly. 11th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bear patiently whatever befalls you. Subhanallah. Bear patient, brothers, very important. Especially with you and me. With the talks of a new South Africa and a new constitution, and with the black peoples coming into the seat of powers, with the ANC and the PAC and all other previously banned bodies coming also into government, maybe into power, maybe whatever. Remember, we Muslims do not shirk and fear. We believe, and sincerely so, our iman is on this, that whatever happens in whichever country, whatever happens is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the decree and the decision, not of man, but of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say we accept it. I'm talking about one phase, a political phase, but in every other sphere, social, moral, economic, You can take whichever one, and political, on the political level as well. All of this. Wasbir ala ma asabak. You stay put. You stay where you are. Don't run. There's no need to do so. There's no peace and security anyway in the world. I would say that one of the most peaceful countries, even in this time, is South Africa. You can decide. You can have your own interpretation. I'm not denying that. You have your right. But what I'm saying is, wasbir ala ma asabak, and bear patiently whatever befalls you, of health, of sickness, of wealth, of poverty. Whatever it be, brothers, whatever it be, wasbir ala ma asabak. Accept your taqdeer and say, this is from Allah. O Allah, you have thus decreed. I, your slave, accept whatever you have put out for me. And then the 12th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn not your cheek away from people. Allahu Akbar. وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ خَدْ. Your cheek. Do not turn your cheek away from people. When people talk to you, look them in the eye. Look them straight. Look at them. Don't turn your face away smugly or haughtily or out of pride or whatever. Do not do that. It is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn not your cheek away from people. 13th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming up. It is as follows. Do not walk with pride, with haughtiness. Yes. One can judge a person from his walk. Stagger. Especially nowadays. You can make out very quickly when a person is proud. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And 14th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَصِدْ فِي مَشِيكَ. Walk at a moderate pace. Walk patiently. What is the, where are you, what are you trying to, what is the rush for? Even in a masjid, brothers, when the jamaat has started, we do not have to run from the back after making wudu to come and join the saf. You do not have to run. Walk, alright, walk at a reasonable pace. Try and get the jamaat, yes, alright, we understand. But running, no, there is no need for it. Now, if in the masjid our fuqaha say such haste is not healthy, what about on the outside? What are we running for? You tell me, what is it mostly that we run for? To get to work on time? To make a few bucks more? Most of the time the rush is for that. Hasn't rush caused the end of many a life? How many thousands of people have died because of rushing? You can see the frustration on many drivers at a robot. The knocking of the nails, the lighting of the cigarette, the puffing of the cigarette, the agitation of the people registers itself on their face, how the car keeps moving forward slightly, slightly, slightly. There is impatience that is registering in every action of that man. Brothers, no. Take it easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, have walk patiently. Walk at a moderate pace. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not walk with pride, walk at a moderate pace. Allahu Akbar. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِيكَ. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 15th command of Allah coming up in 8 ayats of the Quran. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep your voice low. Allahu Akbar. Many years ago, I read a survey. I do not know which university conducted the survey. I cannot recall at this moment. But in the survey was written that amongst the black peoples of Africa, one of the characteristic features are that they like to speak aloud. I don't know how many of you have noticed, sometimes they are standing facing one another, face to face, with only a few centimeters apart sometimes, but they are shouting at one another, greeting another with one another with loud shouts, and yet they are standing toe to toe. And many of us have this habit as well. We talk about above our voice, loud we talk. Is there any need to, it's not... Well, they say this was a cultural survey on the cultures of various people. And of course the intention there was to show how uncultivated, uncouth maybe, and uncultured these people are. There was a completely worldly reason attached to that particular survey. But brothers, look at what Allah, وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. keep your voices low. Talk in a tone which is loving, which only that person can hear. If it's a conversation between two, a third party does not have to listen to your conversation. If it is a conversation between a certain number of people, 10 or 12 people, keep your voices low so just the 10 can hear. Do not have a high voice or a loud voice all the time. Do not scream. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for ugliest of voices is like the braying of an ass. So don't bray. Have adab, have etiquette in your speech. For it is that kind of speech which attracts people towards you, attracts attention. Not loud speech. We think sometimes loud speech attracts attention. Yes, it attracts a certain kind of attention from a certain group and a certain kind of people. But the proper speech is keep your voice low. Let's continue. Now I ask you to look around you at the state of the Muslim Ummah. Look at our adults and look at our children. Look at our men and women. Look at our boys and girls. How obedient are we to these commands of Allah, to these commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What consideration do we give to these and other commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times do we have to be reminded by Allah ta'ala of our duties before we learn? Tell me. You and I are sitting here in this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have heard these commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for the first time. We've heard it for the umpteenth time. What have we done to obey and to follow these? Or rather, let me put it this way. How many of us have broken these rules? How many of us have broken these commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how often? What are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That I learned these rules at the age of 15, for example. I am now, say, 60 years old or 50 years old or 40 years old. Which means that for 20, 30, for up to 50 years I've been hearing, or 50 years ago I heard this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I still now and then, or every often, I've broken these rules and these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What fikr should be, what worry should be in our minds as to the future? What am I going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is what should come uppermost in our minds. Do we do this? Do we examine? Is there a process of self-examination all the time going on within us, in our minds? How many times do we have to be reminded by Allah Ta'ala of our duties? Look around us. Consider this matter very seriously. Brothers, sisters, my request to you is make a decision, a firm one. Let it be a positive decision. Let it be for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is what I ask of you. And may Allah Ta'ala help us all. Ameen. We come now to the 22nd command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in our series. Though it is the second that you are hearing, but for me it is the 22nd command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the series of lessons. And remember, this is a special annexure. This is not actually, it is a part of our lesson. The lesson is on Shaitan's plan for man. These commandments are a special annexure that have been brought in by me to broaden our vision and to understand the workings of Shaitan through the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was brought in, I will tell you a little further on the reason for it. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as follows. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada alillah walau ala anfusikum awil walidaini wal aqrabin in yakuna ghaniyan aw faqiran fallahu awla bihima fala tattabi'u al-hawa an ta'dilu wa in talwu aw tu'ridu fa inna Allaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira. Surah Nisa, fourth surah of the Quran, ayat number 135, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat number 135 of Surah Nisa, fourth surah of the Quran, O true believers, O you who believe, you must be strong in maintaining justice, in bearing witness for the sake of Allah, even if it be against yourselves, or against your parents, or against your family, your kindred, your kith and kin. Whether the opposite party be rich or poor, for Allah is nearer to them both than yourself. Therefore, follow not your lust in bearing evidence, so that you deviate from justice. And if you conceal your evidence or decline from giving evidence, then verily Allah is well acquainted with all the things that you do. Let's look at it again. O true believers, brothers, I have to pick up my pace. It is enormous the quantity of work we have to do. I've been pressing and going on since Ramadan. These lessons were started on Shaitan's plan for man. As my brothers will tell you that I hear, these lessons have been going on for one entire year. And I've been speaking every week, Sunday, Ba'd al-Asr, to them for an hour, hour and a half, and even longer throughout this year. From the year 1411 of the Hijrah up to 1412, and I haven't been able to complete my subject. There's a long list still to follow. We are looking at several months more of teaching without repetition of anything that I have spoken about in the past. So vast is the subject. So I have to move at a rapid pace. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O true believers, you must be strong in maintaining justice, in bearing witness for the sake of Allah, even if it be against yourselves or your parents or your kindred. Whether that opposite party be rich or poor, in other words, there must be no favoritism. Whether that opposite party be rich or poor, the reason being, for Allah is nearer to them both than yourself. For the sake of Allah, Allah is near to them. As much as Allah is near to you, Allah is also. So Allah is watching, Allah is your guardian. Allah is watching and Allah is guarding. So for the sake of Allah, see to it that you do justice when giving evidence and when making decisions, when judging. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, therefore follow not your lust. This is a command. Therefore follow not your lust in bearing evidence. Do not allow your sentiment to creep in. This is my brother, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my wife, this is my daughter, this is my son. Do not allow these things to come in. If you have to judge a situation and give a verdict on a matter, crucial, no matter how crucial it be, you will judge in accordance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bottom line of which is, the rule of which is justice. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore follow not your lust in bearing evidence, so that you deviate from justice thereby. And if you conceal your evidence or you decline from giving evidence, then verily, remember, Allah is well acquainted with all the things that you do. The command of Allah ta'ala is very explicit and very clear in this ayah of the Quran. Justice must prevail, but it must stem from the truth and from the knowledge that Allah clear in this ayah of the Quran. Justice must prevail, but it must stem from the truth and from the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala is all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-hearing. Human-made laws are secondary. The truth must be spoken, and justice must be so adjudged. There must be complete impartiality in the meeting out of justice by Muslims. Family and kindred considerations play no part in judgment. Status and wealth. And remember, here we are not talking of a court of law necessarily. Yes, a court of law mainly. But we are also talking of family courts, family decisions, family disputes, family disagreements, things that may happen in families, in communities, in organizations. How should they be resolved? Well, all of this, there must be justice. The chairman, you may be called upon to give a certain judgment. The chairman or the president or the secretary or the treasurer or any one of the officials may be your father. He may be your brother. He may be your husband. He may be your wife. Whatever, wherever a decision has to be given, you will not favor anyone whatsoever. You will judge if you are an alim or a learned man in that community, and they come to you with a problem and they say, this resolve our problem. Whether a family comes to you, you will judge impartially. Money, bribery, corruption, all these things will not count. Gifts even. Beware of gifts. Anyway, what I am saying is, family and kindred considerations play no part in judgment. Status and wealth or poverty also play no role. Heart and... Remember, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Subhanallah. Money is such an important consideration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't look at whether the man is a wealthy man or whether he's a poor man. Generally, if he's a wealthy man, then we will sit and judge in his favor because he's a wealthy man, because we may at some future time derive some benefit from the wealthy man. So we will favor him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns, for he knows the feebleness and the fickleness of man. Allah created us, he knows what we are. And Allah warns us that do not judge them by the wealth, by their status, by their position. And if it is somebody that is poor, then obviously we will ride him and we will go against him in making our decision. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has there given us already an idea and a way and a command that we must not use any kind of favoritism, looking up upon or looking down upon. Now, status and wealth or poverty also play no role in justice. Heart and mind should not be persuaded or swayed by ties of kinship or by the financial state of the parties. Only the truth should be considered when judgment is passed. I ask you, what is the situation today? How much partiality, how much favoritism, how much nepotism, how much partisanship exists in our society, in our considerations and in our judgments? How much unfairness and injustice exists in the ummah today? How well do we support and obey the above command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How often do we allow personal jealousies and even prejudices to influence our judgment of situations and peoples? We hide evidence, we give false evidence, we mislead, and we even decline to give evidence. As our ignorance increases, so we become slack in maintaining justice in our society. A people who fail to uphold justice among themselves can never hope to be held in esteem by others. I repeat, a people, a community, a nation who fails to uphold justice among themselves can never hope to be held in esteem by other peoples, by outside peoples. They will be easily trodden upon and oppressed by others. If you look at the ummah today, you will find that we have greater respect for the laws and the ways and the constitutions and the rules and the regulations of the kuffar, particularly in our meeting procedures. You find out. Subhanallah, the laws of Mashura make and play no role in our meeting procedures. I have seen Muslims conducting meetings in a more squalid way, in a worse way than the kuffar themselves. Arguments, abuse, vilification of one another, of the utmost, the worst kind that you can find. I found them sitting and smoking cigarette after cigarette, laughing and joking and throwing all kinds of jokes, relaxing. Brothers, a mashura, an important matter of consideration, and this is the behavior of the people that are the leaders, the decision makers, the judges, who hold our future in their hands, who decide for us, and this is the scramble and the type of meeting procedure that they conduct. Astaghfirullah, brothers. That is one example. In the conduct of all our other affairs, I leave it to you to judge. What has it done to us? Look around you and you will see where all the fitnas come into this ummah. That is all I ask you to do. As I conclude the 22nd commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with which we have dealt, I want to tell you, as I give these commandments, 21, 22, or the first and second as far as you are concerned, these are not the only four. These numbers I have given only for the sake of recognition, for the sake of ease. But it does not mean that there are only this number of commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. No, I've merely done it for ease of notes and for ease of understanding. They are not even in proper order. I do not know what the proper order would be. Obviously, the main one would be on Tawheed, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, La Tushrik Billah. Those on Aqaid, on belief, Islamic belief, would take precedence over those of practice, obviously. But I have not given it any particular order. For the Quran itself has given this in various places. But Allah Ta'ala says it is the best order. Allah has chosen the order and I've taken it at random. Says Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, 23rd command of Allah Ta'ala coming up, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Surah Nisa, 4th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 58, says Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, verily Allah commands you to restore trusts to their owners. Allah verily commands you to restore trusts, amana, to restore trusts to their owners, and that when you judge between men, you judge with equity and justice. Verily Allah exhorts you to an excellent virtue. Verily Allah is all hearing. Verily Allah is all seeing. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Brothers, I'm asking you now, for those who may not be acquainted with our style of teaching or our way of teaching, this is the holy month of Ramadanul Mubarak. Over the years, through practice and patience, we have learned that there is very little on a Sunday for us to do at home. We do not have to go back to work. There are very few visitations during the month of fast. If we do visit, it is normally when it comes to the time of breaking fast. But this time that we have allocated for these lessons from Dhuhr to Asr, from Dhuhr after Dhuhr actually, we in our earlier years used to let the brothers go at about 3, quarter past 3, half past 3 we let the brothers go. Then some brothers continue to sit in the masjid, get their Asr Salah and then they go out. I found over the years that such a large number of brothers sat and waited for Asr Salah, and the last half an hour or 1 hour was actually wasted. And that is the stage at which I started lengthening these lessons, and I found the brothers responding and sitting. So I know it is awkward. We are not accustomed to sitting 2 hours, 2.5 hours in the masjid. I know it is asking a bit too much of you. But this is a majlis of zikr. It is a majlis wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highly pleased. What are we discussing here? We're discussing Quran and Sunnah. What are we discussing here? The religion of Allah, Deenul Islam. There is no dunya talk in these lessons. So I'm asking you to open your minds and open your hearts and try to take in this holy month as much as you can of what is being conducted here, what is being taught here. I write down these notes. The reason is that I can do a lot on an experience of a quarter century, 25 years. I know what I'm doing. And I know if you were to take this cassette of today, for example, the brothers that are sitting here in front, doing the taping work, they are the ones that will tell you, and that you can obtain these cassettes, tapes from. That if you were to demarcate and you take 1 hour lesson and you start writing down the points that I have given of teaching, you will be amazed with the amount of information that you will obtain therefrom. I study and carefully annotate them so I know how much I pack in. It is not 60 points in an hour that you will obtain. It's something more like 100 points that you will obtain in that hour. 100 things that will be of help to you and your family in the future. So it takes a lot of time, a lot of planning. An architect designs a home, you tell him, I want like this, I want it like this, design it like this, this size, that. We do the same in the preparation of these lessons. And I've been doing it for many, many years. So there is expertise involved, and I know you will bear with me patiently. Sometimes it happens a brother sleeps away here. You will find in some of our cassettes also snoring will be noted. These things happen. Alhamdulillah, it happens. This is life, brothers. It goes on. But even in your subconscious, you will take in such a lot of the nur and the barakah of what is going through from Quran and Hadith in these lessons, that I assure you, when you are all alone, one individual in the hole in which we are all going to go, which is known as Qabr, you will find the nur and the light these lessons and these teachings bring to you. Wallah, I guarantee it to you. In this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nur you will take into the qabr with you as a result of attending not only this, but anything good on Islam, It will accompany you. It will never leave you. It will persist. Yes, it will even go to saving you. Because when the harms and the evil things that come about in Qabr want to approach you, it is this nur and this barakah that will tell them to go away. Many hadiths I have recited on this previously in our lessons on life after death, whereby the good that you have done, and this is among the good deeds, the most cherished deeds are this here, sitting in the majlis of zikr. This is the thing that will stand up and say, no, this man you're not going to touch, this woman you're not going to touch, this brother you're not going to touch, this sister you're not going to harm, go away from here. All the good things will stand up for you and will stand you in the akhirah in good stead. Yes? And when you go to the Hawza Kawthar, after you are taken out of the qabr, when ba'ath takes place and resurrection takes place, you will immediately know when you arise from there, when the angels come along and garland you, and when they come along and embrace you, and when they come along and take you by the hand and with due respect, salamun alaykum, when they take you and they lead you towards the Hawza Kawthar to drink of the waters from the hands of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his special fountain, you will realize the nur that this, all this has brought to you, the learning of Islam and the teachings of Islam and the sitting in the masjid and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the nur, for the malaikas will know immediately with the nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, that you are a nuri. In other words, you are one with the nur, with the special gift of light. In the ark, you are a jannati, and they will respect you accordingly. And from the Hawza Kawthar, you will be led one, a million, a trillion, trillions and billions. Allah's arsh is very large, very vast, incomprehensible to man. Its size is inestimable to the mind of man. They will lead all these millions of Muslims, mu'mineen, salihin, shining faces, bright faces. They will lead them with that of wudu and that of piety and virtue and learning of Islam. They will lead them from the Hawza Kawthar, after having drunk of the cherished waters of the fountain of Kawthar, they will be led where? Into which spotlight? Into the shadows that lies below and beneath the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rest there while the rest of mankind burns in the intense heat of that particular day. You will be sitting in company, in the company of the people that you know, in the company of your friends in this world, your pious friends. You will be sitting around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, greeting one another, embracing one another, happy at having arrived at your destination. This will be going on under the throne and arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while all around you judgment is carrying on. People are going to the various places and destinations. Judgment is taking place. You will not be judged, for you are successful. You have been given the light of success in the hereafter. This is what these lessons and these studies will bring to you. No university study will give you this. No amount of secular education will give you the nur that the education and knowledge of deen and practice of deen will bring to you. So bear with me, and Asr, I've been told, is at 4 o'clock, a few minutes after 4. I will end off a few minutes before that time. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will repeat this ayat and then proceed after explaining myself. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذَكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Verily Allah commands you to restore trusts to their owners, and that when you judge between men, you judge with equity, meaning with justice. Verily, Allah exhorts you, invites you, draws you to an excellent virtue. Verily, Allah is all hearing, Allah is all seeing. This is another command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that often goes unnoticed by Muslims caught up in the passion of greed and lust, for usurping, for denying, for stealing the property and possession of others. Brothers, listen to this very carefully. It is important to know this is a very vital command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may be aware of it and we may not be, but hearing it nevertheless will do no harm. Those that are caught up in the passion of greed and lust, what do? This is a warning against them. Usurping, denying, and stealing the property or the possession of others, of their fellow men. personal whims and fancies are fulfilled and justification for usurpation. And what does the word usurpation mean? It means to hold the property of another, that which belongs to another, to hold it without right, without haqq. To appropriate, it means to appropriate and to assume wrongfully the goods of others. It doesn't belong to you. It has either been given to you as an amana to look after and to care for, and you start using it. It is a matter of trust. It is, whether it's money, cash, kind, property, possession, whatever it be, it doesn't matter. But you have no right to take it, to use it, because that will involve usurpation of the rights of others. And of course, thereafter, excuses are found and justification is found for such action. Wrongs are committed in the name of justice by many of us. The question here is, can we escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Death and akhirah lies ahead. In the dunya, we have a choice. In the hereafter, we have no choices. Do bear that in mind. You may steal the property, or usurp the property, or use the property of another man without his permission. But do remember, Allah is watching and the malaikas are recording every action. You will escape. You may become wealthier and richer in this world as a result of dispossessing another unfairly and unjustly. But bear in mind, you will not escape the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the world, we may beat the odds. We may outwit and outfox people. We may offer many explanations and high-sounding excuses for our crimes and our wrongs, for our villainy and for our craftiness. But what happens when life goes out of this body? That is what I'd like to know from you. What will all the stolen property do to us? Do we really think we can escape observation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Injustice has become so rampant in Muslim society, in the political, economic, social and racial spheres, that one wonders where it is all going to end. Greed is the means by which shaitan incites man to lust for further riches and comfort. He drives out from man the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tempts man with the material. In mental anguish and frustration, man succumbs to the temptations of shaitan, and thus injustice is perpetrated by man. This is a terrible weakness on the part of man. Man has been commanded to submit to his maker, his creator and his sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to take shaitan as his biggest enemy. Yet we find that man, ignoring the gifts and blessings he has received from Allah ta'ala, surrendering himself to shaitan's evil whisperings and sinful suggestions. Oral and material trust can never be broken by a Muslim. When a man has given you, when a fellow has given you his word, or has given unto you a trust, then it is something that you should respect and honor at all times. Property usurpation is a major crime. Injustice is deplorable. We need to listen and to obey to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Inna Allah ni'imma ya'izukum bih. Verily Allah exhorts you to an excellent virtue. Allah Ta'ala calls man to good, for man is disposed to goodness. Shaitan is the devil. Shaitan aspires to evil and to destruction of man. So why does man follow shaitan? When we look around at the Muslims of today, we find laziness and neglect in the practice of their duties. The commands of Allah Ta'ala are thoroughly neglected by us. There is a don't care attitude that has overcome us. What will the price be that we will have to pay for our indifference? The Quran Majid tells us often enough the punishment meted out to offenders in the past. The results of an evil and sinful way of life are making themselves felt at present by the Ummah. And the danger to man is increasing all the time. On the political level, there is international instability. On the economic front, there is worldwide recession. On the social side, there are rampant diseases. Humanity is suffering. As Muslims, we need to return to the obedience of Quran and Sunnah. In this way, we will gain the fruits of our faith, inshallah. Please consider what I have said. individual and collective effort is needed to pursue our goal and to attain our objective. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 24th, number 24 coming up, is as follows.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا.
Surah Nisa, 4th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 29. O true believers, O you believers, consume not your wealth among yourselves in vanity, unless it be a trade by mutual consent, and do not slay yourselves. Verily Allah is ever merciful towards you. Let's look at it again. O true believers, consume not your wealth among yourselves in vanity, unless it be a trade by mutual consent, and do not slay yourselves and do not kill yourselves. Verily Allah is ever merciful towards you. Sadaqallahul Azim. Consume not your wealth among yourselves in vanity means that one should not earn an income by illegal and unlawful means, such as through stealing, robbing, extortion, overcharging, high or low interest rates, usury, blackmail, gambling, gaming, lotteries, etc. All of this is all haram. Trading and merchandising, however, is allowed, provided these comply with the Islamic Sharia rules, an overriding factor of which is mutual consent and understanding, in which undue pressure or demand is not placed on anyone unfairly and unjustly. Justice is the key. And do not slay yourselves means that all true believers should not commit murder or suicide or serious crimes and sins. Now I ask you, how well are we observing these commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many amongst us resist the temptation to earn through easy but unlawful means? For example, through cheating, lying, deceiving, overcharging, and even downright stealing from others. How many of us buy stolen goods at bargain prices? How many participate in gambling and in gaming enterprises? You know, all these games that people play. How many participate in gambling and in gaming enterprises? We have gaming pools and gaming saloons and gaming shops. Gaming meaning, it's a lighter term than gambling, but it means where people go and waste their time and people merely put in money and the only pleasure they derive is throwing a few things around, trying to get a lot of numbers and so on. How many of us are in wine and drug sales? How many of us are in prostitution? How many of our wealthy and rich lend out money to poor and struggling Muslims at exorbitant rates of interest? How many indulge in games of chance? You know, buying all these cards and tickets that are being sold around, and will soon, when those laws are removed, banning gambling in the country, when all those laws are removed, what is going to happen with this ummah? Already now, our indulgences have crept to a very high level. What will happen when all the legal barriers are removed and gambling is permitted? How many strike covert and fictitious deals, thus robbing others? And yet we know that we are one body. We Muslims are one body, solid body. We are together in happiness and we are together in pain. We have to live together and we have to help one another. Today, so many atrocious murders are committed by Muslims. Suicides are on the increase in Muslim society. You know this, what is happening all around us. How many murders? I think if you were to pick up a newspaper each day, you will find a murder committed by a Muslim. Or at least every week you will find one or two. Several murders with a Muslim name attached to it. Murder has become so common to us Muslims. And yet life is such a precious thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to us it is meaningless. And yes, you and I reflect, we are a reflection upon our society. Suicides are on the increase. It is considered by some to be the heroic way out of problems and difficulties. I'm not aware whether you have heard this, but I have heard people saying, well, it was the only way out for the guy. I mean, what else could he do? Almost as if there is a tone of admiration for the way out that this person has taken of his problems. No, brothers, it is a foul deed, it is a sinful deed, it is almost an unforgivable deed. Suicide is not a way out for any problems. And then I ask you, and sins and crimes of all kinds abound in the Ummah, in this Muslim society. I kept harping a little while ago on morality, morality, morality. Here it is again, it comes up. Where is that morality that we speak so highly of? Illegitimacy, drug taking, pornography, seeing, meeting, romancing and going out with strangers of the opposite sex. Boys going out with girls, girls going out with boys. The relationship is a strange one. They are strangers to one another. No problem. Parents know it is haram, but they just overlook it. They tell me, or at least amongst themselves also, that what can we do? This is the way of the youth today, Maulana. There's nothing we can do about it. Nothing you can do. What are you going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah says, in the Quran, I commanded you not to do this. You broke my command. Allahu Akbar. Or what are we going to answer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he says, but I told you that when two strange people, a male and a female, when they are together, the third one is shaitan, and he will incite the nafs, and he will lead them on to trouble. What are we going to do? What are we going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are we going to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And you and I have become such a permissive, so permissive peoples and parents that we allow such a thing to happen sometimes under our very roofs. Yes, the young children are there in the sitting room, in the lounge, and the father and mother are in their bedroom, and they know what is going on. It is completely and totally haram. But we say it has become our way of life. Brothers, what will you answer? Fathers, what will you answer? Mothers, what will you answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this grievous disobedience of the ahkam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think what is going to happen to us. So I say that in this ummah of ours at this moment of time, there is so much illegitimate practices, so much illegitimacy going on, drug taking, pornography, and the seeing and the meeting and romancing and going out with strangers of the opposite sex. Yes, so much partying. It has become an institution in our society for parties to be held for every what and what occasion. Birthdays, you name it, this occasion. You know, if we have got 10 members in our family, then you know, if each one has a birthday each month, then 10 months of the year are spent in partying, one kind or another. And of course it calls for celebrations and all the things that go with entertainment, all of which are abhorred and are counted as abominable acts in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are we going to? Where are we when we deliberately, knowingly, wittingly are committing crimes and sins? It is for this reason, in the very first 5 or 10 minutes of today's talk, I asked you, what would we do? The Bani Israel had so many hundreds of prophets coming amongst them, living with them and teaching them, and they disobeyed them. Tell me, if this ummah, if prophets had arrived to them and were with them, living with them and teaching them, what would our responses have been? Like the Israel? I wonder. It is a very perturbing question. And I say, I have no right to ask you that question, for such a thing is unimaginable. No prophet is going to come. The doors are closed, all the more pity. All the more, it is a sign of the greatness of the teaching, of the character and the personnel. You may ask, why no other prophet? Well, here I'm giving you the answer. The fact that the doors of prophethood are closed is a sign of the greatness, the esteem and the honor of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we need no other. He perfected religion. He perfected teaching. We have everything. What more do we need? What other guidance do you need than that of Quran and Sunnah? We do not need another. But let us show some respect and honor for he who is our prophet. Let us follow him to the T, at least as much as we can. And where we fail, let us ask for tawbah. Let us make istighfar. Okay, let's proceed. We're speaking about the crimes and the sins that exist and abound in the Ummah. I say, there is in our Ummah at this moment of time so much partying. What about dancing? Yes, so much of music and dance. Astaghfirullah. Two of the greatest sins that lead to crimes of passion. Two of the greatest sins that lead to crimes of passion are singing and dancing. Yes, they are the tools of shaitan. Very, very narrow is the margin whereby a person can be saved that indulges in singing and dancing from perversion and deviation. Very hard. So, in our society and our community, we have practically accepted this as a way of life. Astaghfirullah, brothers. And then, of course, what about drinking? What about this thing of khamr? We almost are helpless to do anything about it. So many are we beginning to see amongst us in our society, in our community, that have taken to drinking. And of course, when I say drinking, drug taking is a related thing. And then let's go on, brothers. This is a very sad subject in Ramadan. It's not nice to talk. I have to mention it, but let us keep passing on. What about nakedity? Look at the way our children dress now. Look at the way our women folk dress. For that matter, what about men? Why keep picking on the women folk? What about us? How do we dress? Go and look at us, the way we dress, some of us. Look at some of the slogans with which brothers come in to perform salah in the masjid. You will be amazed at some of the slogans. T-shirts bearing symbols and caricatures and paintings and drawings of ugly objects and ugly sayings and the sayings of kuffar, political slogans, etc., etc., all of this, we're coming and performing salah. Allahu Akbar. Where are we going to and what is all this leading to? Alright, brothers. Working wives, working mothers, working daughters, school-going youngsters as well, university-going children of ours as well. Look at some of them. You will be amazed. Almost unbelievable. Shocking. Frolicking and sensationalizing are all accepted as the ideal way of life by many Muslim families. Are we so reduced? Have we reduced and fallen to such an extent? Do we not see the evil plot of shaitan in all this? Have we lost our sense of direction? There are some, and listen to this, there are some 700 such commandments as those that I've recited. There are some 700, approximately, 700 such commands of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Majid, which we must obey to keep in direction. I ask you, how many of us are aware of this approximately 700 commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the Quran Majid? How many of us are obedient to them? You may see, you may say, how can we obey when we are not even aware of? You may turn around and tell, Maulana, you are saying, first time in my life I'm hearing that there are 700 commandments of Allah. Not only salah is farz, not only is a tawheed farz upon us, la ilaha illallah Muhammadun, not only is the shahada farz on us, belief, not only salah, that we not only zakah, five pillars of Islam, hajj, Soma Ramadan? No. Five? No, brothers. The commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone contained in Quran, not even coming and touching sunnah. Sunnah are those things that we should carry out and do because they are the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the commandments of Allah, like those I have recited, look in the 1/8 ayat of the Quran that I recited in the 21st number that I gave you, there were 15 commandments of Allah. Similarly, if we go through the Quran chapter by chapter, say surah, we will find approximately 700. I am quoting here a saying of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, one of the greatest, or rather the greatest mufassir of the Quran, taught by, tutored by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a leading sahabi who was admired even as a young man in his youth by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose head has been fondled by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who himself, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raised his hands and made dua for him and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to endow him with the correct interpretation of the Quran Majid. Him I'm talking about. He says there are some 700 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid. Tell me how many of us. You may turn around and tell me, Mawlana, I know some of them, but I don't know the whole lot of them. I mean, how am I to know the whole? I can in turn ask you this question. If you want to know, there are plenty of ways to learn. I can tell you, in return I will tell you, all right, you may not know all of them, but there are plenty of ways to learn. Plenty of sources. You only have to make some effort and sacrifice. Do not leave it too late, for the end of life reaches us without prediction. Unpredictably, and then it may be just too late. Brothers, I hear every day people that I knew and saw yesterday, and I receive a report and news comes to me that the brother is gone. Heart attack, heart failure, accidents. It's happening every day, you and I know. You will be saved, I will be saved. Who is next on the line? We do not know, brothers. Prepare every moment and every day. Prepare to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep yourself in readiness. Do not keep yourself in ignorance. Choice we have in this world, do remember, there is no chance, no choice after death. All doors of choice and choosing are closed. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِ نَارًا وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. This is the 30th ayah of Surah Nisa, 4th surah of the Quran. Says Allah Ta'ala, this is not a command, it's merely an elucidation, I'm doing commentary. And whoever does and indulges in these sins, this ayat follows, I recited earlier, 29. Now in 30 Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَفَعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُسْلِهِ نَارًا وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And whoever does and commits these sins maliciously and unjustly, we will cast him, says Allah, into the fire. And this is easy with Allah. This is very easy with Allah. And you know which one is this? The sins that are spoken of here are these sins. Consume not your wealth among yourselves in vanity, and slay not yourselves. These two. Do not commit murder, fornication, do not steal property, do not do all these things that were mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever commits these sins maliciously, meaning aggressively, with aggression, knowingly, and unjustly, meaning wickedly, Allah says, Allah ta'ala will cast. And remember, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word we, it is indicative of the enormous power, or rather the absolute power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says Allah ta'ala, bear this in mind, O Muslimin. If you indulge in breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as contained in the Quran Majid, then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we, Allah, will cast you into the fire. And this is easy with Allah. Subhanallah. What is difficult for Allah? وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَوْ مُسْلِمِينَ وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. One command kun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are standing before the scales of justice. Two scales. We do not know exactly, but the way we know a scale. Allah ta'ala has used this word, so let us take it in that understanding. Two parts to the scale for weighing. Good and bad. And your scale weighs, the bad goes down, the bad is heavier. The scale, that's the weight, goes down. In other words, you now see for yourself that you are a condemned man, condemned to hell, condemned to eternal burning in the fires of hell. What do? You have an opportunity. You request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me a chance. My father is here, my mother is here, my brothers are here, my uncles are here, my grandparents are here, my children are here, my wife is here. I did so much for them, oh Allah. The man turns to pleading, like in a court of law. Now he pleads for mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allah, you know you are very merciful, oh Allah. You are Rahman, you are Rahim, you are Ghafoor. Oh Allah, I plead with you. Give me a chance, let me go to my people, let me plead with them. And oh Allah, I will find somebody that will give me some good. I will come and then put it on this side so that it becomes even, or my good is increased. And then I can go to Jannah. Ya Allah, do not condemn me at this moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the right and permission, and he will, يَفِرُّ الْمَرُوا مِنَا أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبتي وبنيه. And this man will run now. He will chase and he will go. His mother, his father, the people he loved dearly. He will go to his children that he did so much for and sacrifice. He will go to his wife. He did so much for, he sacrificed his life for, and he will go. Asking each one of them, what does Quran tell us? This is all in Quran what I'm telling you. He will go, mother, father, sister, brother. Every one of them will chase him. They will say, who are you? We do not know you. We do not have an iota. We have no idea who you are. My son you are. Mother will say, you my son? I do not recognize you. My child, I do not even know you. I am worried today and perturbed about myself. People's eyes, say the Quran, will be turning in their sockets, revolving in their sockets, turned upside down out of fear at the scene in front of them of Akhirah and the Maidan of Hashar in the field of judgment. Seeing the scales of justice, the nur of Allah, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, Allah ta'ala descending on his arsh, on his throne for this particular judgment of Yawmul Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. When sentence is going to be imposed, Jannah for the true believers, Jahannam for the disbelievers. What is going to happen on that day, brothers? What a scene. Are we prepared for that, the enactment of that case in the courts of just, in the court of justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What have we prepared? What are we taking with us? You think this is fable? Do you think this is a stretch of my imagination? Do you think the Quran is a book filled with imaginary processes and procedures? All hypothetical theory? Brothers, do not make a mistake. It may be just too late by the time you find out, you wake up and find out this is all the truth. No mother will recognize her son. No father will recognize his child. No uncle and aunt and grandparent, grandfather and children is going to recognize you, are going to recognize you. Nobody will know, nobody there. Each man will carry his own burden. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةً وِزْرَى أُخْرَى. No person is going, you're going to carry your own burden. You're going to be judged on your own personal beliefs and actions on the day of judgment. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever commits these sins maliciously, deliberately, aggressively and unjustly, wickedly, we will cast him, says Allah, into the fire. And this will be easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. Very easy for Allah. Do not once think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Why has Allah put this here? وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. Why do you think Allah ta'ala has put that there? Because you and I sometimes sit back and think, no man, you know, on that particular day, Allah ta'ala is so merciful, Allah will forgive me. Let me go on doing the wrong things here, committing these crimes, committing these sins. On that day, I will plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put me in Jahannam. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't live in hopes of that kind. For when that day comes, Allah will have nothing. Allah has not got, Allah ta'ala has not got a conscience like you and I have got. Allah judges purely on merit of the actions and beliefs of yourself. That is how judgment will be. Mercy there will be. What kind of mercy will there be? Mercy there will be, but that is a mercy very special in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you may have left pious children behind. You may have left huffaz behind. You may have left ulama karam behind. You may have given a lot to charity. You may have done a lot of good. And somewhere in your life you may have slipped up. But not deliberately. Somehow something went wrong somewhere and you fell into some kind of problems, maybe. Allah's mercy may encompass you then, we do not know. For it is said, if you have made your son or daughter a hafiz a Quran, that son or daughter will be given so many to beseech Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness for. If he happens to be your son, he may come and say, oh Allah, they say he will stand at the doors and prevent the departure of his father and mother of his parents into Jahannam. He will stand there and plead with Allah, oh Allah, this father of mine, this mother of mine spent their wealth, they made me a hafiz of the Quran. I carry the light of Quran, of your kalam, oh Allah, save my mother, save my father. Through his pleadings, maybe Allah Ta'ala will save you. That is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may have, a father may have made you, made a son or a daughter into an alim or an alima. Made a son or a daughter into an alim or an alima. learned in the deen, teaching the deen, sacrificing, making an effort on the deen, struggling on the teaching people Quran and Hadith and Sunnah and Fiqh and all those things, they will stand and plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, how can you punish my parents for this is what my parents did for me?" Yes? Then maybe such people may be saved. But who of us knows who will be saved and who will? What guarantee do we have? Whose compassion, whose mercy will Allah Ta'ala be received? That will receive of the mercy of Allah Subhanahu. We do not know, brothers. So beware and be careful and make proper preparation. And Ramadan is the month in which we should do so more than at other times. Again I say, ignorance of the laws that govern our lives is no excuse. Do bear that in mind. We cannot say that, "Look, sir, I did not know what the laws were of. I'm a driver, I'm driving on the streets, and I'm disobeying the laws and the rules that a driver should obey." Can we tell the traffic inspector when we are caught that "I did not know what the rules are"? Can you stand up in the court, in a court of law, and tell the magistrate that, "Look, I was ignorant of these traffic rules, these regulations"? Can we say so? Can we tell this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can Allah ta'ala then ask us, for there will be questions and answers. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then ask, "My slave, I gave you everything. I granted you a beautiful home, a beautiful family, a beautiful business, beautiful income, all the luxuries of life. I gave you health, the greatest thing that a person can have. All these assets I gave you, blessed you with, endowed upon you. And you stand here and tell me that you were not aware of my commandments?"